Welcome to Soundography, the New Year's Eve Streamathon edition. This is kind of a fun alternative Soundography episode. If you haven't heard Soundography, it's not at all like what you're about to hear. Soundography, Hammond and I pick one artist, one band, and we go through their catalog. We take a week and we listen to everything in their catalog, and then we talk about their high points, their low points, and it's my Frog Pants cover band. Their high and low points, and then we give a playlist that's separate from usually separate from their greatest hits. So, like, if you're saying I've never listened to anything by Leonard Cohen, well, you could go get Leonard Cohen's greatest hits and top it off with the five from each of us, and have a pretty decent idea of what Leonard Cohen's all about besides freaking Hallelujah.
You always do you always do such flattering impersonations of the listener.
You can't do it. You can't, if you do an impersonation of a listener, it's going to sound, if you want them to sound normal, you would just do your normal voice, but you have to do a weird voice. And it's, you could either do if you want to make him sound smart, you're going to make him sound posh like Mr. Howell, like, oh, yes, I'm a big fan of the Pet Shop Boys, and I really like their first album. You know, there's, anyway, these other voices you're hearing, let me get to the introductions here. Of course, Hammond Chamberlain is joining me.
Hello, how is everybody?
We're good. And also Scott Johnson.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How's it going, man? Welcome to a music show, Scott.
Yeah, music show is a good show. I like music show. It's a chance to talk about music, show our love for music, have a show about music.
So what we're going to do is we've each been given the task to come up with our five desert island discs. Now, we're assuming that we're trapped on a desert island with an unlimited solar power generator and a Walkman, a CD Walkman, and earbuds, or maybe speakers, I don't know. And these are the five discs that we will be trapped on this island for until we fashion a boat out of a porta potty with our volleyball and sail away, or until Jack and Kate and Sawyer come and rescue us. One of the two.
Sure. I didn't know this. I did a little research. Desert Island Discs is a thing that I guess the BBC Radio used to do, or still does.
Oh, really?
They have a show called Desert Island Discs, and the idea is the same. They bring on guests, mm-hmm. and they talk about, in their case, which 8 records they would take to a desert island, but they have this like big pro BBC4 Radio. Welcome to Desert Island. And they do this whole thing. Isn't that cool?
That is cool. And you know why it's 8 instead of 5?
Why is that?
The metric system.
Oh, you little bastards.
Their metric 8 discs are the Imperial 5.
How many discs do you have? We have 8. And so, Imperial bastards.
That's right. All right. So I'm going to go through my 5 and the people. You'll see how this works. It's all very, very simple. So, the one rule, by the way, we had one rule: no greatest hits albums and no like box sets
or live.
Right. Exactly. You can't say, I'm taking the, here's me doing me, right? Here's my impersonation of me. I'm going to go ahead and bring the Queen box set that has all 9 of their first albums in one container. You can't do that.
So no Journey's greatest hits or anything like that. No,
right.
No.
Exactly.
All right.
So.
Scratch that one off.
you now have time to figure in a substitute. If you throw an escape, it's basically the same thing.
That's true. That's a good point. You can say this, like, I could name a Boston album and you guys would have to try to remember if it was a greatest hits or a single album.
That's right. All right. So the first one on my list is an album by a group called The Posies. Big, I wouldn't even say big as far as popular, but big 90s act.
Yeah.
John Auer, and I can never remember the other guy's name.
Kenneth Stringfellow.
Stringfellow. How could you forget the name Stringfellow, right? Anyway, it is the album is called Dear 23, and it's funny. This is an album that I like for a couple different reasons. Number one, the lyric writing on there is just amazing. This is an album that you're definitely going to want to have the lyric sheet open as you listen to it. And go through the whole thing, go through from start to finish. The second reason I love this album is because back in 1996, I think, 95, Tina and I went on a trip to Connecticut to visit my dad and stepmom. And then from there, he drove us into New York City to get us onto a train at Grand Central Station. And we took the train from New York City, all the way down to Greensboro, North Carolina, to meet our friend Trish. And I asked again, would it be all right for me to acquire someone else's disenchantment? Who's getting married, and we thought, well, we could rent a car, we could fly, let's do a train. A train's fun. And it was fun. I mean, basically you get on this thing, you just kind of sit against the window with your music going, and you're, you know, sitting there chatting, and they got a drink car, and you can go get snacks, and it's just fun watching the world go by on the ground and not worrying about somebody having to drive or stopping for gas or anything like that. There's something to that. And on that trip, I had my CD Walkman at the time, and a handful of discs, one of which was Dear 23 by the Posies. And the scenery out the window and the lyrics and the music and everything just gel together. There's a closing track on that album called Flood of Sunshine. And it has one of the best guitar solos I've ever heard. Just amazing. And it's the perfect way to finish an album. And it just went with the scenery out the window so perfectly. So that is that's my number one is Dear 23 by the Posies. Nice. Number two. And of course, if you guys have any questions or any comments, please jump in. Number two on my list. Oh, sorry. What?
I just think this is great. I'm enjoying this. Like I don't get to do your music stuff occasionally.
I know, exactly. I get to do video game shows every once in a while when you have me on for like The Instance or something like that. But talking music with you is very different than we usually do.
Yeah, it's really weird. And we get little mentions here and there. We do stuff on the morning show, of course, for breaks. But to focus on that is, I don't know, I'm a little giddy. I feel a weird tingling in my groin. So go ahead.
If that doesn't go away by the end of the hour, then we might actually want to have that looked at.
All right.
Number two is Armed Forces by Elvis Costello. You kind of knew there had to be an Elvis Costello track on here at some point, or album at some point. And this was my introduction to Elvis Costello. I heard this before This Year's Model and My Aim Is True, which were the albums that that were before this one. And this is the album that has Accidents Will Happen. It was kind of a tie-in with E.T. because Michael, the older brother, Elliot's older brother, sings Accidents Will Happen while he's pulling stuff out of the fridge that he's going to be dumping all over the floor at some point. And he's kind of messing up the lyrics, but there was that connection with me like, oh yeah, I know that song. That's Accidents Will Happen. That's at the beginning of Armed Forces. It's got Green Shirt, the song Green Shirt on there. She takes all the red, yellow, orange, and green, and And it is, as far as Elvis Costello albums, it was back when he was still an angry young man, and he's kind of mellowed in his old age. But it's, I don't know, it's just a really, really good, solid Elvis Costello album. And it's got that vibrato, a vibrato thing, Scott, that I know you really like. That
I love it.
Elvis.
Oh, my gosh.
You just have to pretend you have a cold. If you want to sing like Elvis Costello, you just pretend that you have a cold, and you can sing. You can sing anything. Yeah,
like don't stop every time.
Believing. Hold on to that. Yeah. Anyway, third one is kind of related. It's "Argy Bargy" by Squeeze, and
I can see why you'd like that one.
I like how you even wrote that. I can see why you'd like it. I'm a big Squeeze fan, a big fan of the band Squeeze. And For the entire, you know, several first years of listening to Squeeze, the album that I thought my favorite was Cool for Cats. Somebody says, oh, what's your favorite Squeeze album? I'd say, oh, Cool for Cats, without a doubt. And then a few years ago, back when I was making CDs before the iPod, so that long ago, I was making mix CDs that I would take on trips. I was doing a lot of traveling for the company, and I'd always end up in a rental car with a CD player. So I would make a Squeeze Greatest Hits and a Crowded House Greatest Hits and a so-and-so, the Greatest Hits, stuff like that. And I would go through their entire library, and I would rate their songs 1 to 5 stars. And then I would make, you know, take all the 5 or the highest star songs and put them together on a CD. And I found when I did that, that I had way higher rated songs on Argy Bargy, which is the album either 1 or 2 before Cool for Cats, than on Cool for Cats itself. So that just became my Desert Island Squeeze album. This has, I feel like, Stefan on Saturday Night Live. This album has everything. Rockabilly, Britpop.
I can see it now.
It's got a midget that plays piano. No, but it's a really, really good album from start to finish. And not one of their like big well-known ones. I think the only, you know, they've got the singles 45 and under, I think, is probably still the best-selling Squeeze album of all time. And I want to say that there's only one song from Argy Bargy on there. And I think it's Another Nail for My Heart, which isn't even like one of their big ones, right? It's like one of their lesser-known greatest hits. Argy Bargy on there. Temple of Low Men by Crowded House, their second album. Was a fan of Split Ends, was a fan of Crowded House, and it was harder to pick which one of the Crowded House albums I want to have on my list, but I knew Neil Finn was going to be somewhere on this list. He had to be on this list, either solo or with Crowded House or with Split Ends. And I'm And this one is probably the most diverse albums, diverse of the Crowded House albums. Because you've got things like When You Come, which is like a, you know, kind of a building thunder coming across the mountains kind of song. And then you've got the goofiness of Sister Madly. You've got Kill Eye, which is probably the rocker, right? The more rockin' song. Closes out with Better Be Home Soon, which is their kind of their sweet ballad. It's another really, really solid album. I'm going to keep saying that these are all solid albums.
Well, that's the whole point. That's the whole point of the list is that you're taking the ones you wouldn't mind listening to for eternity.
Right. You want all killer and no filler is what you want on these albums.
Except you don't want killer at all because I don't like killer. But yeah, I get your point.
fifth on the list, and I'm breaking out of the Britpop.
Well, the Posies aren't really Britpop.
No, that's true.
They're like proto grunge.
Is Aussie pop or Zealand pop really? Yeah. The last one is Breakfast in America by the band Supertramp.
And this, when I saw you, this was on your list, I actually felt stupid for not even thinking about them for my list. I really did. I actually was like, oh, crap. Why didn't I think of them? Not much of a girlfriend, but never seemed to get along. Take a jumbo across the water, like to see America. See the girls in California, I'm hoping it's going to come true.
This is such a great album, and it's an album that I love so much that when I started doing Coverville and doing communicating with listeners who were musicians and bands that were submitting stuff to the show, I decided I was going to do an all cover version of Breakfast in America. There's not a tribute album out there for Breakfast in America. Nope. And there should be, because there's some for Beatles, Revolver and Rubber Soul and Led Zeppelin 4 and all these, you know, like we're going to cover an entire album track by
Genesis
track.
Genesis Sticks. There's a bunch. Everybody's got them.
Right. Everybody's got one. Do
you think it's because Supertramp didn't enjoy the same post success? And in other words, they kind of they became one of those bands where people are like, oh, Supertramp, they kind of lost their way. They changed their sound or whatever.
Totally. I think so. Yeah. I mean, they're
Hole is my Supertramp cover band.
Of course it is.
Because the stuff that like a king without a castle, like a queen without a throne. I'm a dirty morning lover, and I must be moving on. Now I believe in what you say is the undisputed truth. Crap. Can't remember the guy's name, but Crap. Can't remember even the way or the word crap even. The guy who left Supertramp went solo and came out with this wishy-washy, mamby-pamby piece of AM radio crap called It's Raining Again. And it was kind of that point that everybody said, oh, well, Supertramp sucks. We're never listening to Supertramp again. We're done with that band. Bye.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the way that band kind of fizzled out. Although I think now if you go back and you listen to this, you're going to say, oh, yeah. Really good stuff. Goodbye Stranger, Breakfast America, the title track. And all the birds in the trees will they be singing so happily, oh joyfully, oh playfully, watching me. But then they send me away to teach me how to be sensible, logical, oh responsible. The logical song. All those, it's just a really, really good, almost not really a concept album as much as it's a, it just feels like everything leads into the next song. Every song leads into the next one. And that's, It's one that I can't listen to on shuffle for that reason. I feel like you've got to listen to this one just straight through.
One of the first songs I learned how to play live on harmonica was Take the Long Way Home.
I would expect that because, yeah, it begins with that. Yeah.
Not exactly like that, but close.
That's exactly what it sounds like, Hyaman. Come on, I nailed it. Nailed it.
All right. So you've been on the island now for a year, and you hear the buzz of a single-engine plane flying overhead.
Oh, okay. You're not going to just be a drone?
No. I'm gonna watch the joy in your face as the parachute cracks open and it floats to the ground and you open the little box that's been weather sealed in case I missed the island and landed in the water.
Thinking, oh my God, thank goodness. Somebody's finally sent me some food. I could eat something besides crabs and coconut.
Your own pee?
My own urine. He's like, thank God I have a water world plant on this thing, on this island.
Exactly. And you open the box, and inside of it is a red covered album, and it's King Crimson's Discipline.
Okay. King Crimson. All right. I like King Crimson, but I'm not sure I know Discipline. Now,
Discipline is the one that starts with Elephant Talk.
Okay, yeah, this is the one that I know that song, and I know, is Heartbeat on that album too?
I'm pretty sure it is.
Oh, then you've sent me a great album. Yeah, those are the two songs. I'll tell you, those are the two songs by King Crimson that I know. So I'm glad you sent me this one. But the rest of the album is good, is what you're saying?
Yeah, it's a fantastic album. And I actually really contemplated a lot of different things, both things I knew you'd love and things that would be a little bit outside of your wheelhouse. And I figured this was a nice mix of both. Because everyone knows Elephant Talk, but it's also dense enough that every time you listen to it, you would find something new.
Right. Yeah. I love Elephant Talk. And the
that is a Chapman stick played by Tony Levin. It's a Chapman
stick. The whole beginning where it goes like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You get to. I'm like the Michael Winslow of musical instruments. I was going to say. Pretty
good. So that is my choice for your list.
Brian, I'm going to send you one too. All right.
And all right.
This one is coming by drone, and my drone has two beer cans at the side of its head and drinking it out of a straw.
Are you sending a McKinsey Brothers to him?
Are you sending me Yokel Rock?
Send you.
It's a Larry the Cable Guy disc.
I'm going to send you airlift. I'm going to airlift to you via drone. Garth Brooks's "Rope in the Wind." Not because it's good. You need some add to your collection while you're there, and remember the people you've left behind.
Right.
So it's all Garth Brooks all day long. Dreamer's just a vessel that must follow where it goes, trying to learn from what's behind you, and never knowing what's in store makes each day a constant battle just to stay between the shore. And I will sail my
Rope in the Wind. Now, is this one you own, Scott?
No, but my wife owns this. She doesn't really listen to it, but her upbringing in Mississippi meant you had to have some degree of Garth Brooks in your life.
Wait. So when you married, you didn't just say we're merging our CD collection?
No, if anything, I brought her back to sanity. Like in some ways, I got her back to where she needed to be or wanted to be. And, you know, the old stuff had to go. So that thing is in the trash somewhere. Who knows how long ago we got rid of it.
The cardboard box in the attic labeled Kim's CDs. Do not open.
Discs. Not for everyone. So, yeah, you're gonna be enjoying the soulful, whimsical trippings of one Garth Brooks in Ropin' in the Wind from me.
Nice. Does it come with a multi-patterned button-up cowboy shirt?
Nope, but real tight jeans. So
and a hat that is stapled to your head.
Yeah, that's you'll have hat that never comes off. Like, it's literally part of your head.
I can't believe you didn't even send me, like, if you're going to send me Garth Brooks, it's not even
the good one.
Gaines. What is it? Jeffrey Gaines. No, what was his alter ego for a while?
Oh, we had an alter ego? I didn't know that.
Johnny Mexico? Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. No, do you guys not, do you not know what I'm talking about?
I know who you're talking about. I can't think of his name.
He did one album as a
Wilford Brimley?
As a rocker.
Wilford Brimley.
Somebody in the chat room, I've got the chat room up, and somebody in the DC TV chat room is going to know this, but it's like, it's not Michael Gaines, but it's like, it's a Jeffrey
Tambor.
Chris Gaines. That Chris was Gaines. It. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. The Jen. Yeah. Chris Gaines. He did an album as a guy named Chris Gaines, and he's this 90s emo hair coming down over the guy's face, chin beard or soul patch on under his lip. Rock and roll thing. And when he was a guest, when Garth Brooks was a guest on Saturday Night Live, he had quote unquote Chris Gaines as the musical guest.
Oh, you're kidding.
And so he had to basically come out as Chris Gaines and do the music. And it was, you know, totally kept hush hush. Like, he didn't, everybody knew who it was probably, but it wasn't like, all right, now I'm going to switch into this alter ego and do the music. He just kind of did it. And it was, there had to be some people out there with no idea about this.
Never heard about that.
Yeah, you got to look up the album cover. The album cover is the best part.
Yeah, right. It's pretty golden.
Okay.
All right, Scott Johnson, right. Your turn.
All right, you ready for this?
You are shipwrecked. Go.
I am shipwrecked. Boy, am I. All right, so here's what I take with me. And these, I have to admit, I haven't put the kind of like you guys have a very historical, complete record of some of these bands and their influences and when they were the best and why Pet Sounds is better than Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Heart Club Band, blah blah blah. Like, it goes right on forever. You guys have that. That's why you have a
They're
show
not
together.
The same band. You know that, right, Scott?
No, I know that. Okay. But that's why it's like, there are gonna be cases where I'm gonna mix them up. There's just no way around it. So I just tried to think of the things that I love and have always liked and never go out of style for me, and that still work for me. So it's a pretty eclectic bunch. Here's the one I start with. AC/DC's Back in Black. I need to be moving around that island, picking up coconuts. I need to be having some energy. Uh-huh. And that's going to give it to me. All right.
If you listen to the mellow stuff that I picked, you're going to be sleeping on the island. It's just going to be like,
you're pretty chill, dude. You're on vacation on this island.
Also, Scott, once you have one AC/DC album, you've pretty much got them all. So
no, you're not wrong, but I think this is the one best representative of my favorite sounds of AC/DC. So for me, it's Back in Black. Listen to that all day. I love it. I never get sick of it. And there are a lot of songs on there that weren't played to death, like Shook Me All Night Long or Back in Black itself, the title song, that are really good that no one ever hears. So there's plenty in there that'll be familiar and new.
Right.
Number two, it feels like a cheat a little bit. I hope it's not a cheat. You guys can make a ruling here.
Okay.
I really want The Wall. With me, Pink Floyd's The Wall.
Not a cheat at all. Perfect.
So it's an album, but it's a double album, so it's big.
I've pulled one of those too, Scott. Don't worry.
Okay,
so I got you back.
That thing still. I think it has mostly to do with when I was a kid. I would hear The Wall, and I would hear it. You know, they don't really do these concept albums anymore, right? It's kind of a thing of the past.
Yeah, hardly anymore.
Right. Laying down and listening to that thing from top to bottom was like a story. It was a weird story. It was one that I didn't really understand or comprehend, but I knew I was hearing kind of a kind of a psycho narrative.
Right.
And I loved it as a kid. And as I started growing up and I started understanding it more, I loved it even more. And now I just admire it. And I love it. And some may say, well, Scott, why don't you do Dark Side of the Moon? That's maybe better or whatever. Here's why I don't do Dark Side of the Moon. Mm-hmm. I can't hear Money ever again. Hate that song. It's overplayed. It is my least favorite overplayed song ever made.
Really? Wow.
And the sound of change and the cash register.
Also, it's in a funky time signature too. And if you're not ready for it, you're not ready for it.
Still don't like it. It's just always bugged me, and it got overplayed. You'd say, "Well, Scott, what about Another Brick in the Wall, or you know, Run Like Hell, or something like that?" And I'm like, "Well, no, those something about those lives on. You can't have any pudding if you don't eat your meat. We need to learn that lesson even when we're on the island, okay? You can't have your pudding if you don't eat your
meat." The wall is a fantastic choice. That would be...
But then you can always be asking...
If I had a Pink Floyd...
Baby, do you think they're going to drop the bomb?
Right, exactly. Look, Mommy, there's an airplane up in the sky. No, there's not, and I'm not going to get saved.
Yeah, exactly. Like all of those wistful, hopeful things in that song that you didn't even realize were there. Comfortably numb, there's part of my time on the island. I'm going to need to feel that way, so I'll find some weird weed that only grows there. Some sweet chill, you know?
Smoking on a suckerfish.
Yeah, I'm in charge. I can make the rules. It's legal where I live. Anyway, so there's that. Next up is kind of a nostalgic throwback, but one that I never not like to hear.
What will Scott pick next? What will Hammond pick? Tune in next week for the exciting conclusion of Desert Island Discs on Soundography.
Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.